Ekatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome to the deep dive. Today we are getting into a really foundational text in political philosophy, Thomas Hobbes's Leviathan.
That's right. And if you want to understand sort of the bedrock ideas behind the modern state and why we grant government so much power, well, this book is absolutely essential.
It really is a shortcut almost to that core concept.
And it's much more than just politics, isn't it? It's this whole system, human nature, society, even religion, all wrapped up.
Exactly. And why talk about a book from the 1600s now? Because, well, Hobbes really nails this fundamental trade-off we're still dealing with constantly.
Which is?
How much freedom are you personally willing to give up for safety, for stability?
Yeah, you see it everywhere. Debates about government surveillance, you know, or emergency powers during a crisis. It always comes back to that Hobbesian dilemma.
So let's talk about the author. Thomas Hobbes lived 1588 to 1679.
And the key context, the absolute crucial background, is that he lived right through the English Civil War. Chaos. Total breakdown of authority.
He saw it firsthand. Anarchy.
Yeah. And it wasn't just an intellectual exercise for him. He famously said his mother gave birth to twins, myself in fear.
Wow. That says a lot, doesn't it? That deep sense of insecurity, maybe even trauma, it just permeates his whole philosophy.
Absolutely. He was trying to design a political system that was basically chaos-proof. One that wouldn't collapse like the one he experienced.
But what makes his approach so revolutionary for the time?
Well, he wasn't relying on, you know, God said so or old traditions. He was really inspired by the scientific revolution thinkers like Galileo.
Okay, so more scientific.
Exactly. He wanted to build a science of politics. Start with the basic components, human beings, how they tick and logically build up from there. Like geometry, almost.
Right. Starting with human psychology, not divine right. That's a huge shift.
A massive shift. Understand the materials before you design the machine, essentially.
Yeah. So the book itself, Leviathan, what's the elevator pitch, the core idea?
The core idea is pretty stark. Hobbes argues that our natural state, I mean, without any government or rules, is basically a war of all against all. Constant conflict.
That sounds grim.
It is grim. He thinks humans are driven by desires, appetites, and fears, aversions. And the biggest fear.
Violent death.
Violent death. That's the ultimate motivator. And because of this, we have this relentless desire for power after power that ceaseth only in death.
Why? Just to get more stuff.
Partly, but mostly for security. Power protects you. And since we're all roughly equal, you know, the weakest can still kill the strongest through cunning or teaming up, and resources are limited.
But nobody trusts anyone. Competition and fear rule.
Exactly. That's the state of nature. No industry, no culture, no society. Just fear.
But hang on. What about things like, you know, empathy or cooperation? Does he just ignore all that?
He's definitely what you'd call a realist, maybe even a cynic. He'd probably say, even if you're nice, you can't assume your neighbor is. Without a policeman on the corner, you have to assume the worst to survive.
It's like a paranoia trap.
Kind of. Which leads to his most famous description of life in this state. Solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short.
Chilling. And in this state, nothing is unjust.
Right, because there's no law. Everyone has a right to everything, including taking your life if it helps their survival.
Okay, so how do we get out of this nightmare scenario?
Reason. Rational self-interest. Even in that chaos, the drive for self-preservation is number one. So people figure out what he calls the laws of nature.
Which aren't actual laws, more like survival rules.
Precisely. Rational principles for survival. The first one is fundamental. Seek peace and follow it.
Makes sense. Stop fighting if you can.
And the second gives us the mechanism for peace. You have to be willing to lay down your right to all things, provided others do too.
Ah, the social contract. Mutual disarmament. I give up my right to bash you if you give up your right to bash me.
Basically, yes. Be content with only as much liberty against others as you'd allow them against you.
But Hobbes doesn't stop there, does he? Just agreeing isn't enough.
No way. That's the crucial step. Reason tells us to make the agreement, but our passions, fear, greed might make us break it. So Hobbes says, famously, covenants without the sword are but words.
You need enforcement, big time.
Exactly. Agreements are worthless without power to back them up. Which brings us to part two of the book. Of Commonwealth. This is where the Leviathan is actually created.
Okay, so how does it happen?
Individuals make a pact, a covenant, with each other. Not with the ruler, that's key. They all agree, together, to give up their right to govern themselves to one single authority.
Wait, they agree with each other, not with the sovereign they're creating.
Correct. The sovereign isn't part of the contract. The people authorize the sovereign to act on their behalf to keep the peace.
Huh. And because the sovereign isn't bound by the contract,
its power is absolute. It has to be. It's also inalienable, can't be given away and undivided.
Okay, hold on. Absolute power. No checks, no balances. Isn't that just asking for tyranny? Why create a potential monster?
Hobbes's answer is brutal logic. The alternative is always worse. Going back to that nasty, brutish, and short life. Unthinkable.
So any government, even a harsh one, is better than anarchy?
For Hobbes, yes. Any division of power, say, between a king and parliament, like in the English Civil War, just creates factions and leads back to conflict. Stability overrides everything.
So the sovereign decides everything. Laws, war, peace, even what ideas are acceptable.
Pretty much. The sovereign judges what's necessary for peace and defense. That includes controlling doctrines, deciding controversies.
What about individual freedom, then? Is there any left?
Liberty exists only in the silence of the law. So whatever the sovereign hasn't forbidden, you're free to do. Buy, sell, choose your home, your diet.
But there's one right you don't give up.
The right to self-preservation. The whole point of the deal was to save your skin. So you can't be forced to kill yourself or incriminate yourself in a capital crime. That would defeat the original purpose.
Okay. And then there's this whole other chunk of the book, parts 3 and 4, dealing with religion. He called it the kingdom of darkness. Why was religion such a big deal for him?
Because it creates divided loyalties. If people believe they owe ultimate obedience to God or a church, that might contradict the sovereign's laws.
You get conflict, civil war again.
Exactly what he saw happening. Religious disputes were tearing England apart. So for Hobbes, the sovereign must also be the head of the church, the ultimate interpreter of scripture for the nation.
Wow. Not because he necessarily cared deeply about the theology itself, but for political stability.
Purely political. Control the narrative, control the potential source of rebellion, keep the peace. The state has to manage the spiritual realm to prevent it from fracturing the commonwealth.
Okay, let's try to boil this down. What are the maybe 3 big takeaways?
Theme 1, for me, has to be the primacy of self-preservation. Fear of death is the engine. Security isn't just a political value. It's the foundational one.
Yeah, and you see that, right? Think about any crisis, personal or public. What freedoms or comforts are you suddenly willing to trade for basic safety? Hobbes would say, that's just our wiring.
Definitely. Theme 2, the necessity of an absolute and indivisible sovereign. Power must be concentrated. Sharing it, checking it, balancing it, that just invites conflict and weakness.
And you can kind of see that logic in, say, organizations during a crisis. You often need that single point of command, clear leadership, otherwise things just fall apart. Paralysis is deadly.
Right. And theme 3, the artificial nature of political authority, the state, the government, this Leviathan. It's not natural. It's not divine. It's a machine.
A human invention built for a purpose.
Which is kind of empowering in a weird way. If we built it, we can understand it. We can analyze if it's working. Its legitimacy comes from us, from his ability to prevent chaos.
Hobbes also had a way with words. Some lines just stick with you.
Oh, absolutely. His prose is powerful. You want to hit a few key quotes?
Let's do it. First, the big one about the state of nature.
Has to be. The life of man, solitary, poor, nasty, brutish, and short. Bam. It just captures that utter desperation, the void without order.
Yeah, unforgettable. Okay, second, his point about needing enforcement.
Covenants without the sword are but words and of no strength to secure a man at all. Pure political realism. Laws need teeth. Promises are empty without power behind them.
Cuts right through any idealism, doesn't it? And the third, about the state itself.
For by art is created that great Leviathan called a commonwealth, which is but an artificial man. The state is this giant engineered construct, a piece of human technology designed for our own protection.
So bringing this 17th century thinking into our world, how does it apply today? Let's start with global politics.
Well, the international stage looks a lot like Hobbes's state of nature, doesn't it? You have independent nations all looking out for themselves, no ultimate global authority, no world police force with real teeth.
Right. So international treaties and agreements.
Well, basically covenants without the sword. They rely on goodwill or mutual interest, but when push comes to shove, there's no global Leviathan to enforce them. Fear and competition often drive actions.
Okay, application 2, that security versus liberty thing we keep coming back to.
Yeah, every time there's a major threat, terrorism, pandemic, whatever, Hobbes's framework pops right back up. Governments argue for increased power, surveillance, restrictions.
And the justification is pure Hobbes. We need security first, because liberty is meaningless if you're not safe. You have to accept some limits for the greater good of order.
It's the classic argument for prioritizing collective safety, even at the cost of individual freedoms.
And a third application.
Just the basic foundation of law and order.
Okay.
Hobbes is a stark reminder that peace is fragile. It's not the default state.
It's something constructed, maintained.
Exactly. And when states fail, when you see regions descend into chaos and violence, well, you're seeing the state of nature made real. It highlights how vital effective institutions are just to keep that brutishness at bay.
This has been definitely a heavy hitter. Thinking back on the source material, what surprised you or really stood out?
For me, it's how radically secular his justification for power is. He builds this argument for absolute rule, not on God's will, but on cold, hard, rational self-interest, grounding political legitimacy entirely in human psychology and consent that felt incredibly modern.
Yeah, that's a great point. For me, I think it's the chilling plausibility of his starting point, that state of nature. We like to think we're beyond that, but Hobbes forces you to confront how thin the veneer of civilization might be, and it makes you ask, what really is the price you'd pay for peace and quiet? It's unsettling.
It really is. That constant tension between the horrors of anarchy and the dangers of absolute power.
A powerful thought, indeed.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.